Hey everybody, welcome to the program today. My name is Barbara, and we have another full program coming your way. First up, Asia Williams, who is running to be a Bonner County Commissioner in representing District 2, even though everybody gets to vote in the county for, you know, anyone coming in to represent a certain district. So it's not just the District 2 people. Everybody gets to vote. So you're all up and need to meet and greet Asia, as I say, running for Bonner County Commissioner. The ballot coming up that her name will be on and others is May 17th. It's coming up really quick, and we're trying to get the candidates to you so you can begin to hear them and make notes if you want to go to their websites, you want to go to their meetings and find out more. I encourage you to do that. And then later in the program, we are going to get another phone call from Sage Dixon, our state CB representative in Boise. We had a short conversation with him last week, and I wanted to get him back on for another, you know, 10 minutes or so. So all that, sit, stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Subscription required. Refund available for 60 days after purchase.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 90% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to 4hymns.com/radio. You'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the biggest brands at 90% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but 90% cheaper. It's the same medication you get from your doctor, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. Results are guaranteed or your money back. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hymns.com/radio. That's 4hymns.com/radio for your free online visit. forhims.com/radio.
People are asking about North Point Trenchless. How are they doing it? Replacing water and sewer lines like they were hardly there. No incisions to yards, no demolition of trees or landscaping. From inside the crawl space or under the house, North Point Trenchless is getting it done and people are loving it. Check it out on Facebook or call 208-304-5712. Get a free sewer pipe camera inspection and free estimate. Call 208-304-5712. North Point Trenchless. 208-304-5712.
Cabin fever got you down? Hitch up the team and head on over to Mountain Traders, a one-of-a-kind consignment trading post featuring quality used furniture, antiques, taxidermy, metal and wood art, jewelry, and more. From pistol socks to fool's gold, there's something for everyone at Mountain Traders, and they've added pulled pork to their menu. Open Tuesdays through Sunday, located on Highway 95 in Elmira, halfway between Bonner's Ferry and Sandpoint. Mountain Traders.
The fighting spirit of the Marine Corps is born of battles won. Battles won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's a promise made to you for more than two centuries. A promise of the Marines.
North Idaho's Radio, 1400, 1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
Welcome back in, everyone. Say hello and welcome to Asia Williams. Asia, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I am happy to meet you and get to know you today. And I think our audience, though they can't see you, they feel the same way. You're a new name for us. And I know lots of people know you already, but you're going to be talking to quite a few more new people today. So I said at the beginning, you all, everyone, even though she's running for District 2 seat. That's Jeff Conley's current seat. Everyone in Bonner County who's a resident and a registered voter can vote for all of the county commissioner positions. So, Asia, tell the audience just a bit about your background and your qualifications.
All right. Well, I've been in Bonner County, specifically Blanchard, for over 10 years. We moved from Oregon looking for a conservative area that would allow us to build a homestead, and we landed in Blanchard. For the last 5 years, I've seen a lot of changes in Bonner County, and my professional and educational background kind of pulled me into working at the commissioner level with respect to like the zone changes, planning. I have a Six Sigma Black Belt. That's a leadership designation. I'm a nurse, and I have an MBA. A lot of my career has been spent with risk mitigation and litigation. I've worked with companies across the country to include the timber industry. I've worked for the state of Washington reducing risks as well. Was named by their Secretary of State for the improvement of the function of state government after my time there. I want to bring together my professional educational background to the role of county commissioner. I have seen a lot of changes that have kind of threatened the rural lifestyle that many people have grown up with, but also a lot of people have moved here for. And so I wanted to put that to use by running for District 2 Commissioner.
Let me back up on your qualifications. I am impressed. This is one well-fit lady that I'm looking at here, Black Belt. In martial arts, did you say?
No, Six Sigma Black Belt. It's leadership. So leadership. Oftentimes you see that with marketing or you see that in manufacturing.
I knew it wasn't exactly what I thought I heard, but I heard Black Belt and I thought I'm probably not the only one out there that needs to hear that again.
No.
So it's a leadership designation. Your master's degree is in what?
Business. MBA.
And you're also a nurse.
Yes.
And yet you represented in litigation. How did your involvement in, I'm assuming, out of court or in court litigation, were you an expert witness, or how did that part of your professional career happen?
So I worked in the field of industrial insurance. And so in the field of industrial insurance as an adjuster and as a nurse and having a business license, you can get pulled in to be in the catch-all for a company. So, for example, with Georgia Pacific, if they had a workers' compensation claim in the state of Washington, Oregon, or Idaho, and that was my book of business, I managed the claim itself, which includes, depending on the jurisdiction, your risk management of litigation costs. So even though an attorney will go and speak to a case, the risk manager or claims adjuster would actually provide the risk-benefit analysis, the cost, and I would also participate in the negotiations of settlements in that field. And so that is a very big field. It's uncommon to have a nurse, business, and a claims adjuster all in one person. Mm-hmm. So I was specialized. I did a lot of oversight for the state of Washington in that field.
So you were working in that area in the state of Washington. You moved here from Oregon. Were you doing similar sorts of work in Oregon before you came into Idaho?
My book of business was Idaho, Washington,
Oregon.
And Oregon.
Yes.
And so Idaho is unique in that you have to physically touch the ground here. And so you were traveling from Idaho, Washington, and Oregon, the three. I got permission from the company just to stay in Idaho and no more travel. Those three states I was licensed in.
All right. Excellent. Thank you for that. That is a lot clearer for me to understand, and I'm sure the audience. So your responsibilities in your professional work is related to what our county commissioners face in terms of understanding what their decisions make in terms of possible risk for litigation. They do have many employees with workers' comp and workers' insurance, so there are a lot of crossovers between what you've done. Not only to mention leadership training that you have that would apply to county commissioners.
Exactly. And one of the things that I've seen as a gap at the commission office is that risk management of decisions that are being made. And we're watching decisions made by commissioners where we are at risk for litigation. And when I look at what the current commissioner ran on, we have seen an increase over the last 5 years. We are having a lot more grassroots groups bringing information to the commissioner's office, doing that, you know, risk analysis, saying, you know, this is not in the public's best interest. And I think the Camp Bay Road is a prime example. We are required to pay attorney fees when we lose, and that's taxpayer money. And so the question comes, why are the commissioners not doing that risk assessment? Because the decisions they make impact the entire county. Even if in the end they still make the decision, it should be that we can trace the cost benefit of the decisions made so that we can have faith in our elected officials. And that's not something that I have felt in these last 5 years.
So yes, I can see the risk management assessment with confidence needs to be made ahead of the curve before they get into the decision that either allows that risk or no. We see that to the best of our ability, there is no risk of litigation in this.
Exactly. And one of the things that is missing also is just that communication with the various departments, but also the community. We're not communicating effectively and efficiently with the people in Bonner County that are affected by the decisions. And we have to tear down those walls. We are in a tough economic time, locally, state, and federally. We need to have a strong local presence. And I think it's time for a change at our commissioner level.
Okay, back to Camp Bay. The commissioners recently decided that they would just basically, if I may not have the legal term, Misha, you can help me, to back away from the road access issue and to let a judge decide that. So they decided to back away. That was my understanding. So give our audience the short answer on where are we on that Camp Bay public access to the lake, that road easement.
I believe that the commissioners chose not to make a decision because we're in an election period of time, because they had the necessary information to make a decision. Giving the road away is not in the best interest of the public, and they chose to wait for a judge to tell them what to do, but it doesn't seem to be moving any direction.
So the judge, if I asked you to speculate, would it be that the judge is going to say, you county commissioners can decide to put the authority over this roadway to the lake in the hands of the private developer and take it away from the public?
And what McDonald said specifically at that hearing was, we can't be certain that the public had access. That was his question. And so in theory, they can get that answer and make their decision. And it seems to have just kind of stalled out. But that was the reason that that was the comment that he made. And so that information's easily available. It was presented at that hearing from various attorneys and people that were part of the grassroots effort to not give that road away. So I just felt like it was a political decision to not actually make a decision.
You know, real quickly, when Gary and I came up, we were just talking about this before we went on the air. In 85, the first place we purchased was about 9 acres overlooking Camp Bay.
Yeah.
And so we were down accessing. There was no dock. There was no marina. It was just a beachy area, like a little bay. Well, like a bay, Camp Bay. And people would go down there. They would put canoes in the lake and kayaks. You'd hang out and swim a little bit. There were only a few of us out there in 85, so it wasn't a big crowd. Our boat was over at Glengarry Bay. But there was no question that we had access. And the original elderly lady, I want to call her Green was the name. Anyway, she was still living there in her little cottage. And her kids had a piece of land there too, and everybody had access. So
yeah.
I can go back to 85 and tell them there was definitely access. All right, another issue that involved potential litigation was the ice rink decision, and I'll just let you summarize what happened that with the ice rink. I had the sheriff on here recently, but you give us your take on what in the world was going on there.
I don't understand the decision to use that particular land with respect to wanting Bonner County to have an ice rink. There is land designated for sports. So there's a that question of why would we use land when we would have to purchase new land to kind of develop our justice system, I think that it points to poor communication with the sheriff and the commissioners, because you saw even in newspaper print a lot of back and forth, and at the end of the day we have to say your job is what's in the best interest of the public.
Yes.
And it would cost us money to buy additional land, but the contract itself was questionable. In the contract it talked about if the county pulls out, who's going to pay? It's the taxpayers that will pay for the decision. And the poor communication combined with that not doing your risk assessment keeps showing up in decisions that are being made at the commissioner level.
Well, I will allow you to say poor communication. I would say purposefully poor communication. Everybody listen up front. That's Barbara's opinion, that it was purposeful in not being clear. It was purposeful in not letting either the public or the sheriff's department understand what was actually on the agenda and what would be the business for that day.
Yeah.
So I just think that I do not acknowledge that the commissioners finally got it right. I think the North Idaho, I always, NC3, I can never remember the name they've given themselves, but the people who wanted to be the sponsors for the ice rink, I think they finally understood that they were developing a really poor public persona, and they decided to come over here, partner up as they should have from the beginning with the Ponderé.
Yeah.
And we only need one ice rink, let's face it. So as popular as that may be with some people. So I don't give the commissioners kudos for any part of that.
And at the end of the day, we shouldn't be arguing in this way with our community, because the ice rink is going to be valuable. There's great reasons for the after-school program. We have a location for that.
Right.
And I think it's sheriff was proactive, reaching out to the AG. I think that it shouldn't have to go that far. And if we develop good working relationships, we can avoid that type of unnecessary negativity in our community.
Yeah. I mean, the sheriff finally had Asia, as you well know, had to go the route of an open meeting law violation through the AG to get the commissioners to back away, even though one county commissioner, Dan McDonald, said it was no big deal, it was just procedure. Though that was early on in the conversation with the AG. It turned out to be a lot more than that.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm just hearing for you to say, I mean, you would not have, as a county commissioner, agreed to that deal at the outset.
I would not have made the decision that the commissioners made. I think that there needed to have been very clear communication with what we need in terms of on the land. And I understand some of the comments were, well, it's just county land, it's not sheriff land. The goal is not to pit us against each other. We are a community, and that should be one. And we shouldn't use the appeal to emotion that's involved with, are we going to have an after-school program to manipulate a situation? And I think if we had better communication to get a desired outcome, that the solution could have been found without all of what had to happen to get it reversed. And I think that you can't put a price tag on it, but it is a waste of our resources, because we have issues that we should be working on within our county, and we're getting distracted because we're not communicating and we're not adjusting our thinking to being a community of one versus I get to make the decisions and then you guys can spend your time fighting with me on
it. Exactly.
It's very divisive.
Waste. It is a waste of time and money. And not only do I not want my county commissioners fighting with me and other people in the public, voters, I don't want them fighting with their department heads. I don't want them fighting with the sheriff or you know.
It doesn't give the community a sense of trust, because inevitably there's going to be a decision as commissioner where you need the public to trust the way you make decisions. And I think that's something that's missing at our current commission board. We don't have the trust that they're acting in the best interest of the public. And you see that with the record number of people that are attending these meetings, that are doing research, with all of the groups that are being formulated in our own community, where we're even using attorneys to help push this agenda.
Yeah.
That's a lot of grassroots effort.
Asia Williams is our guest today. Asia, I have another question for you before we go to break. Do you agree or disagree? What do you think fairgrounds and their activities need to be financially independent from taxpayer support?
I think they should be financially independent. I think they have been for the most part, but we don't need to use taxes for that. And for the most part, it is.
Or county land.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We are going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to have a lot more with County Commissioner candidate Asia Williams.
Let thick and thin beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you. Spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, or desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. For all your wood product needs, it's thick and thin lumber, fast, reliable service, and competitive pricing. See the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road, or check out their website at tntbeams.com.
Over the past year and a half, business has been anything but usual. Whether you're a small, family-run business, a corporation, you need a trusted financial partner to guide you along the way. At WaFd Bank, they've been helping local businesses succeed for over 100 years.
That's right. We've been around long enough to know one size doesn't fit all, which is why our business checking solution comes in three options. There's Simple Business Checking, a straightforward, easy-to-manage account for business. Also, Business Interest Checking, allowing business owners to earn money on their deposits. And finally, Business Analyze Checking, which uses account balances to offset fees.
All of WaFd Bank's business checking solutions cost just $100 to open and come with online banking and bill pay, mobile photo deposit, and can be paired with treasury management services like electronic ACH payments and credit card processing and payroll services.
Visit wafedbank.com or stop by the branch to see which account is right for your business. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Safeway and Albertsons are hiring experienced supermarket refrigeration technicians. If you want a stable career with full benefits, paid time off, 401k, employee discounts, signing bonus up to 10k based on experience and more, this is the job for you. Apply online or in person. Don't forget to bring your resume. Interviews will be held March 10th and 11th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and March 12th from noon to 4 p.m. at the Hampton Inn & Suites, 16418 East Indiana Avenue in Spokane Valley, Washington. For more information, go to Indeed.com or Craigslist. Safeway and Albertsons, an equal opportunity employer.
It's winter. Let's face it, we all need wine. The Pondere Winery is here for you. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 12 to 8, and offer not only world-class wines made right here in Sandpoint, but also a menu of original and mouth-watering cuisine created at our tasting room located at 301 Cedar in downtown Sandpoint. Are you a wine club member? March marks the first club shipment of the year, and don't forget to reserve your library selections, only available to our wine club members. It's still winter. We can get through this together at the Pondere Winery.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/getscreen. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
The Idaho Vandal women wrap up Big Sky play this week in the ICCU Arena. Thursday, it's the Sacramento State Hornets at 6. Saturday, the Bears from Northern Colorado are up at 2. And it's Senior Day. And don't miss the makeup game with Portland State on Monday. Go Vandals!
97.1 FM, 1400 KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. You know, as always, I want to leave these microphones on when we're off the air because we continued talking. Asia, you have some fresh information. I want you to keep it kind of short on ARPA because I do have another topic to go to. But bring us up to date on your position and new information on ARPA, the American Rescue Plan Act money.
Right. And briefly, the issue for me is elected officials not reading the documents before they're making decisions. And we see even a fresh one with the mayor of Sandpoint making a decision that misinformation has been given to the public that's detrimental. And so I was contacted and I attended his roundtable and I specifically asked the mayor, did you read ARPA? Did you read the resolutions that I drafted? The answer is no. And I said to him, well, you've made a very significant decision in the public eye as an elected official to say that there's misinformation that's negatively impacting our community, but you don't know what that information is. And I did ask him, will you write a retraction and I'll send you the information? I haven't received a response back, but from my view, the problem has always been the risk assessment of taking such money, and you're not reading the documents before you sign, and we're risking civil liberties when you look at the language of the document.
I know that I am on the fence with this a little bit. I understand, but I confess freely, I'm on the fence about this. Because I look out across the landscape of America and I see governors and counties and cities in every state. I see our governor is, there was an article recently where he was talking about, and Sage addressed it, where the Treasury Department has opened up ARPA money for transportation for roads and bridges, which we desperately need. And these would not be programs that would be ongoing where we're supporting employees and retirement funds and things that we can't, you know, end. They have an end time because it's infrastructure. And when I think of all the people and all the opinions that are moving ahead with this, irrespective of the concerns you've expressed about the details, I end up kind of back and forth, and I think I represent tons of people.
I think you're exactly right. I think it's a 50-50 divide. But Bonner County is different than the rest of people because we declared ourselves a constitutional county and we made actual resolutions that contravene or oppose. And so the two questions that I've asked that have not been answered are, in the document it says you must respond to scale with respect to vaccine clinics. Has Bonner County done that? Well, we haven't done that. We haven't responded to scale, and the to scale is very vague of what that definition means. And then the other issue is in the document it says that you cannot do things that contravene, which means to oppose. So my issue is very legal in if we have made resolutions that oppose decisions like mask mandates and vaccine mandates, and we have not responded to scale, can we spend the money, and we always go back to the risk, without the risk of having to return it, because all three commissioners have said, if we have to return the money, we will have to take out a loan or manipulate other programs.
Yeah, we don't have the money to return $8.8 million.
And so
ultimately,
I've been very clear on the, regardless of where people stand on whether you take the money, my question is, can we legally take the money knowing that it says not to oppose and that we must respond to scale? And so your valid point, there's a lot of money there. It's valid to say that inflation is not going to change if Bonner County doesn't use that money. But that's not the argument that Asia Williams has made. It's read the document, read the verbiage. That doesn't even get into the language about additional information the federal government wants and we're exchanging it, because I can't get past that language in that document.
Okay, understood. I want to go to... Well, I want to change it a little bit and really open, get away from issues and hear what are the top three items that you would really pursue as a county commissioner, whatever those might be, and maybe we've already talked about them, but that you're passionate about, and as a county commissioner, you're going to champion these things, whether they're local or whether it's in relationship to working with our legislators to get the law changed, so our county and our citizens can move forward in areas you really care about. So give us your top passions there.
So reviewing our increased litigation over the last 5 years is definitely something that I want to look at. I want to improve the relationship with the community and the commissioners, which includes ancillary departments like the sheriff's office. We should all be on the same team. Another big issue for me is that comp plan, the zone changes, and the growth that we're seeing. We are seeing individuals that have lived here generationally being taxed out of their ability to afford to live on property that they own because we have this artificial inflation of people moving into areas that are dropping a significant amount of money on land, and then the taxes go up, and then the value of the land goes up. So down in Blanchard, you can be a generational person that doesn't owe anything on your land, but the taxes have increased so high, and then you didn't get to take the circuit breaker.
All right, let's take one of those, this growth that we want the rural lifestyle. Everybody says that no matter how they vote or what they do. What can you do or would you do as a county commissioner to either A, control that growth and direct it in a certain way, or get the infrastructure or get the zoning clear with the people on our zoning commission that keep approving this stuff?
It all comes down to the commissioners. The commissioners have the power to tell the director, when we know this is moving towards a subdivision, they have the power within our current code to ask for that additional information. We hear all the time, look at how much water this well produced. Well, that was back in 20 years ago when it was put in. What does it produce now? When you look around our area, the impact on that Rathdrum Prairie aquifer is significant. The commissioners can require the director to obtain additional information, but they don't. That we have a comp plan in place, and we're not using our comp plan to the greatest benefit, and we see a favor in terms of developers versus the citizens that are already in that area. I have heard this over and over at the commission office, that to not allow zone changes is a restriction of people's property rights. It's not. I bought Ag 20. I have all the rights of that designation. Yes, you can ask, but that doesn't mean we have to change it. Another misapplication that we see is that the comp plan zone doesn't mean that that particular land has to have all of those features. It's the land as a whole in that area is supposed to look a certain way. It's supposed to encourage, for example, in your farming districts where you do have that prime soil, it's supposed to encourage the person who wants to be a farmer, here's a great spot for you to bring that resource to us. And that's not happening. We're seeing developers come in. We're seeing a lot of zone changes. You see, there was a particular one with Dom Construction where the staff said no first, then they said yes. What was the difference between no and yes? It went to the commissioners and it came back down. It's an unfortunate thing, but it's brought a lot of the community together. But at the same time, we need to use our document.
You know, I think that our county commissioners, all of them, those that are running, those that are elected, who we're going to have on the next slate of commissioners, to whatever they think and whatever they say, to stand by that. You know, if they're really for development because they know they're going to get more tax money, then I think they need to say that and say, this is the value. This is where I put value, that we need to do this because we will accrue more tax money from these increased in allowed zones, more population density.
And I think what is happening now is the community is requiring people to pick what side they're on so we can make informed decisions.
Yes.
And I think that this election is going to show that we are requiring more. The acceptance of, well, I'm more informed than the guy before me, isn't acceptable for us anymore. We are definitely more activated.
I agree with that. Well, we need to have you back, and maybe with Jeff and who else is running for District 2 down the road as we get closer to the primary. Asia Williams was our guest. Right now, we're going to say goodbye to Asia. I remind you, you can find more information at her website, VoteAsiaWilliams.com, VoteAsiaWilliams.com. And if everything works the way we're planning for it to work, when we come back from our commercial break, we're going to have Sage Dixon on the phone from Boise. Asia, thank you.
Hi,
thank
you for having me. This is Chad, the Easy Home Buyer, and I pay cash for houses. Call me today at 208-877-6000. I buy houses in any price range and any location in the Spokane and Coeur d'Alene area and can get you your cash in as little as 1 week. Do you own a house that is vacant, in foreclosure, or needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Sell to us as is. You won't have to make any repairs, and there are no commissions, no fees, and we pay all the closing costs for you. Do you have a tenant living in your property? Not a problem. We buy houses with tenants in them all the time. Do you think your property will be difficult to sell? Easy. We provide assistance for any situation. We understand that life throws us curveballs, and we would love to see how we can help you. If you want to sell your house fast at a fair price, call me today at 208-877-6000. That's 208-877-6000.
Pick up the phone to inquire. Call the Easy Home Buyer.
Get head over boots this summer at Northern Quest with John Party. All-American singer-songwriter Party brings his modern cowboy flair for a night filled with country greatness.
Yeah, I'm
special guests Lainey Wilson and Haley Witters. In the BECU Live Outdoor Concert Venue. Sunday, July 24th. Get your tickets now at northernquest.com.
Safeway and Albertsons are hiring experienced supermarket refrigeration technicians. If you want a stable career with full benefits, paid time off, 401k, employee discounts, signing bonus up to 10k based on experience and more, this is the job for you. Apply online or in person. Don't forget to bring your resume. Interviews will be held March 10th and 11th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and March 12th from noon to 4 p.m. at the Hampton Inn & Suites, 16418 East Indiana Avenue in Spokane Valley, Washington. For more information, go to Indeed.com or Craigslist. Safeway and Albertsons, an equal opportunity employer.
It's chick season at North 40 Outfitters. Make sure you have everything you need to raise a happy, healthy flock this year. Nutrina feeds were created to provide the perfect combination of nutrients for the birds you care for. At North 40 Outfitters, we have a full selection of Nutrina feeds to keep your birds healthy from chick to fully grown. Shop with us in-store or online at north40.com. North 40 Outfitters, outfitting work and play.
Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. You can always find people who are helping. Thank you to all the first responders who put their lives in danger to help us when my brothers and sisters need them. We look out for the helpers because they look out for us.
Thank you, first responders!
Thank you, first responders!
Learn how you can help first responders by texting BRAVE to 24365.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Hey, everybody. You are welcome back in and say hello with me and welcome Sage Dixon, who's calling from Boise. Sage, thank you for being with us.
Happy to be with you, Barbara.
Thank you. We just had some really good conversation with candidate, County Commissioner in Canada, Asia Williams. She joins me in the studio. She's listening in. Interested. She had a chance, she said, to meet and talk with you about ARPA.
Yes.
I want to take our conversation to House Bill 741 having to do with property taxes to kind of change, as you said in your newspaper article, changing the paradigm of our property taxes. First of all, where is that bill?
That bill will get a full hearing in committee on Thursday. So what we heard last week was just the print hearing, the first step. And it was introduced to print, got the bill number, and now I believe it's scheduled for Thursday morning in revenue and taxation in the House.
Okay, and how do you think it's going to fare in the committee? Will it get out of committee?
That's a very good question. There's been a lot of conversation, and since I wrote that article and had the town halls last weekend, I've got a lot of feedback on that. So we could be there for a couple of hours discussing this. I think there's a lot of question marks for a lot of people. I spoke with a representative from New Plymouth or New Meadows area, and he says all his people are against it because they can drive 3 miles down the road and they're going to be in Oregon and there's no tax whatsoever in Oregon, and so the businesses are concerned. I heard some concern from our county commissioners, both in Boundary and Bonner, about what this would look like going forward, even though they're going to be backfilled with sales tax. Inflation is going up, and there's not a mechanism in that bill to handle inflation, from what I recall. So I'm not quite sure, Barbara, at this point. I'm excited about it for the reason of philosophical reasons of owning our property and the freedom that's tied to that and not being beholden to government and basically leasing our property from government. But I don't know if this is the right vehicle, but we're certainly going to dig in deep on it.
I appreciate that very much. And just from what I've read and from what I understand, I can't control my property taxes as property values go up and things go up. And, I can't control that. But what I buy, how much I buy, and what I decide to spend on big items or small items, I can control that. If my sales tax goes up, I have a say in what I purchase. I don't have a say. So for me, I think being able to save something on property taxes is a win, and having my sales tax go up still puts me in the driver's seat. So for what it's worth, Sage, that's one voter's opinion.
Thank you. It's been about half and half from our district. So I know, as I said, other representatives are hearing nothing but bad, and I've received some emails from folks throughout the state that were in favor of it as well. So it's going to be a very interesting debate, and even more interesting if it gets out of committee and to the floor.
Is there anything in this that's relating to the changes that were made on our income tax, where there's a return, and I believe that has passed?
Correct. It has. No, that's totally separate. That will still go into effect as far as the lowering of the income tax rate and then the rebate that will be coming back as well. That is all a different issue. This may affect certain other pieces of legislation where we were taking portions of sales tax to do property tax reduction. I think those would just remain in hold as they progress through the system if this were to look like it was going to pass, because that would, I don't think they'd want to do both of those things. But
I'm so glad to get that cleared up for our audience, because even though, you know, income tax, property tax, sales tax, they're all different, they're separate, but the income tax rebate and then the ongoing reduction in income tax in our state is a done deal.
Correct.
All right. Signed by the governor.
I believe so. I'd have to double check that, but I think because we got it done so early in the session, at this point it should have been to his desk, and he was a big part of those conversations.
Well, you know, it's an election year, so you know the governor's probably going to sign it. I would predict.
Right.
I predict that he's not going to. He's not going to not sign. All right, there are some changes in our voting, the laws that surround our registration, and I don't even have a number for these. I'm hoping you do, and that you know the update. Like, there's one that has to do with if you're an unaffiliated voter, you have to declare who you are pretty soon. I think that one is already in place, but bring us up to date. Sage.
So that bill did pass off the House floor. It's not been heard in the Senate yet. I think it was just directed to the Senate State Affairs Committee. I don't know what that schedule is going to be on that. And it did deal with unaffiliated voters and trying to get everybody registered for a party before the primary, along the same vein as when we closed our primaries to ensure that only Republican voters were selecting the Republican candidate. This was following in the same line. But there is a lot of concern, and especially with a lot of the new folks moving into the area that may not have been here long enough to know who they want to vote for, and then making those decisions later, because the election's not until May, but having to make that choice by March is drawn some consternation. But it did pass out of the House. And so Senator Woodward and I were talking about that and the timing of it all. And we don't anticipate it to be to the governor's desk by the end of this week. That would be way too fast, even in the best of circumstances. So I don't think it's going to affect this primary election. I have to look into that. Don't hold me to that, because I haven't researched that closely. There's no retroactivity clause in the bill. I know that. But I don't think it's going to affect this this election cycle because of the timing of everything. But I have to do research on that a little bit more, Barbara.
Okay. And we look forward to that. You know, maybe it's the cynic in me, but, you know, the line about Idaho for so long is we are a one party state. We're a Republican Party state. Well, yeah, we're a Republican Party state, but we've got Democrats and Republicans. I mean, everybody runs Republican. Everybody wants to register Republican. Everybody wants to get that Republican ballot so they can vote, I don't know, the way they think they want to vote. For Republicans, and I have a concern about that. So I think that we need to straighten out some of the restrictions. If you register Republican, then there are things that restrict you. Or am I looking at all this kind of weird?
No, I don't think you are. I think that's the reason we're going in this direction, if I'm understanding you correctly, is to make sure that people from that don't maybe share the same political ideology aren't skewing like a candidacy or who's going to be running for that party.
Right.
And, so I think the assumption was that was happening across the state when we decided to close the primaries a number of years ago in doing that, just to help address that issue, to make sure, you know, everybody can vote in the general election. So that's when it's wide open. And if you like a candidate from a different party, you're free to do that. But when it comes to a party selecting who it wants to represent it, in the general election, that should remain within the party, is my perspective on that. And I think that's what you're saying.
100%. I agree. What about same-day voter registration? Is that going to continue here?
It is, because our alternative is doing the motor voter registration. I think it was 96, and this is something I looked into when I first got into the legislature in trying to narrow down our early voting laws. I don't appreciate those, and a number of us don't down here, but we have that same-day registration because in 96 it's a federal law that you had to do one or the other. If you do not do registration with your driver's license, then you have to have same-day registration. And so that's been some discussion when we talk about election law and what that looks like. Would it be better for us to try and shape it through the driver's license system? Could we affect some sideboards there or change the parameters, or is it better to have the same-day registration process? So at this point, we're going to keep going with the same-day registration. I don't think we can change that. It would be a federal law that takes that.
You triggered a thought, and I think I've heard you speak to this. I think there are people that don't understand what could be wrong, in your opinion, with early voting. I mean, we know we've got absentee voting and then same-day voting, but we also have early voting where you get to go in early and vote.
Right.
I understand that you are not in favor of that, and if so, why?
That's correct. Well, it was really apparent to me when I first ran, because I ran for commissioner about 10, 12 years ago, I think, at this point, and I had a radio interview during the election cycle, and the host said, well, here's another candidate for commissioner, and I've already voted, and I know a lot of you have too, but here you can listen to him and see what you think. And I had no idea at that point, being new to the electoral process, that people were already voting, and here was my opportunity to speak to them, but they'd already cast their votes. And it's kind of a secret among incumbents, if you will, that they know to get out early and start doing their campaigning, and then having people vote early before they can hear about other people, other candidates. And so I don't like it from that perspective as well. But then there's also a portion of fraud that can come in, because we do mail out those early ballots. You don't have to go in to the clerk's office and vote. They can be mailed out to you. And when I was first campaigning and we'd go door to door, there'd be three names and an address, and the address is all boarded up. And it just makes you think about fraud and who might be picking up those ballots. And I don't know if it's enough ever to make a change, but still, to keep our system pure and functioning and have the trust of the public in that electoral system, those things should be changed. So I think you would need to have a legitimate reason, either you're homebound specifically or you're going to be out of the state, why you cannot vote on voting day, as opposed to the early voting process in doing that, because I think there's it's not good for the system. It's not necessarily that there's always fraud, but in as far as knowing who to vote for, there's more information that can come out right up until the day of the election in doing that. So that is one reason why I'm against that early voting process. And I haven't looked at that in a while. I was looking at it about 4 years ago and how to fix that, but then something else got in the way and I never finished pursuing that.
Sage, we are down to less than a minute and I have one last question. I don't know if this is fair or not, but you could at least get us started. School choice for families. I mean, it comes up every year, this voucher system, let the parents, you know, spend the educational dollar on their kids where they want. Seems like I read recently there was an opinion it was unconstitutional. Can you give us the short answer on where we are, if not this year, in the future?
Right. Well, there was a vote in the House Ed Committee last week, I believe it was, if not the week before, on an education savings account bill. And Representative Ron Mendive from Coeur d'Alene, he's District 3, but south of the lake there, he's been working on this for 8 years, and I've been trying to help him because I think it's important that parents are able to decide about their children's education and where they're going with the dollars that they provide to the state. This was a very strong effort. It went down to the chairman of the committee casting the final vote because it was a split vote in the committee for and against, and the chairman voted against. So we won't have that again this year. I'm sure they'll try again next year. And it's been an ongoing process to try and get some more school choice within Idaho, and there's strong resistance to it.
Yeah,
and
100%.
The makeup of the committees matter. Yeah.
Sage, we're gonna let you get back to your committee and your responsibilities here. We're down to less than a minute. All right, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Barbara. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Everybody, thanks for being with us. That's the program for today. Thank you to Asia Williams, Sage Dixon. Next week, got a couple of guests coming your way. We're going to revisit Bonner County Partners in Care with Cheryl McCarty and another guest. Until then, this is Barbara saying thank you and God bless you.
K246EU, 1450KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400KSPT Sandpoint, and online at NorthIdahoRadio.com.